It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's in London for Microsoft's Tech Days Online. We've got a great live audience. Lots of questions. Let's talk Windows. Let's talk Hadoop. Let's talk Xbox next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 399, recorded February 4th, 2015. Office de Leche. Windows Weekly is brought to you by HipChat. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at hipchat.com/Windows Weekly. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial right now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here from Thurrott.com. I like that. Thurrott.com.
I resisted this at first, but I'm getting used to it.
Did you?
Yeah.
They said, but you're a brand, Paul.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. How come your hair looks good and mine is still, like, hardly there?
Leo, I could squeeze out of my hair out of my head just by struggling. You know? I'm like a chia pet.
I like that. You press, where do you press?
I'm like,
you have a little crank?
Popping a zit. You know? Yeah.
Also with us from Londonium, Ms. Mary Jo Foley of allaboutmicrosoft.com. You're there for a Microsoft event.
I am.
And I guess they couldn't afford set dressing or anything, so we just put you in a cell, it looks like, a padded cell. Yeah. What is the event?
It's been a nice cell. I was here this week for Tech Days Online.
Oh, fun.
And it's a big online Microsoft
Mary Jo,
event.
Did you know it was supposed to be online? How come you're there in person?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I know.
You just said, well, I'm coming anyway.
In person, so I just showed up and they let me come.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I was in Reading, UK yesterday at the Microsoft office, and I gave a little keynote about what's next for Microsoft. And tonight they gave us space in the London office at Microsoft to do Windows Weekly Live.
Very nice. Very nice.
We have a nice studio audience. I sent out a picture of them earlier on Twitter.
Is the microphone muffling up?
Is there a microphone on you? Is that your microphone?
Is there another microphone?
Do you have a microphone in your...
Well, it just kind of muffles occasionally.
Yeah, every once in a while goes... Woof, woof, woof.
So, I know, I heard that too.
Yeah, just speak directly into it.
Is that better?
Yeah. Hold it in front of your face for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't move your hand.
And so I should warn you guys, we've already had some pizza and some craft beer here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do they have beer in England?
Right. Do they have beer in England?
That got the biggest laugh of all.
You know, the biggest shocker to me about England is how much better the beer is there than in Ireland.
Oh, them's fighting words.
I said it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Maybe I should say it. Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't go there, did you, Polly boy?
Sorry.
All right. I like the laugh track, Mary Jo. Let's do this. We should have an audience follow you around at all times.
We should always have an audience. I know, we should.
Yeah. So you told them what's coming from Microsoft. You know better than anyone, really.
And still, I gave it my best shot.
Still having that conversation with people. Got an email today. A guy said, the radio tech guy in Connecticut said, Microsoft's going to give you Windows 10 for a year, and then they're going to charge you a subscription fee.
Yep.
People still think that. Not true.
Well, although, remember, Mary Jo, that day of that event, we were walking between buildings, and someone asked us if we took it that way. And before they said that, that had never occurred to me. But then as they said it, I realized a lot of people are going to take it that way.
Yep. But it's wrong.
And you actually asked Microsoft specifically, and they said no.
Yes.
Well, actually, they brought it up, remember? I don't think it would have occurred to me.
Right.
And I think the first time someone had asked me that outside of there, I would have just been confused by it. But as they explained it, I was like, wait, okay. Yes, I could see people thinking this.
It's, you know, it's like, it's almost like there's a misplaced comma. We're going to give Windows 10 to you free for a year. You could interpret that as, but then after that, we're going to charge you.
We just lost our, we need you guys to call us back.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I do like the effect, though. You look like a an impressionist painting. So somebody will do that. So the plan is to give, and why the 1 year? Clarify that, Paul.
Well, I look at this similar to what they did for Windows 8, where there was a temporary deal. You know, the people who wanted to upgrade from, I think at the time it was Vista and 7, could get Windows 8 for very little money. I don't remember the exact price point, but it was a limited time offer. In fact, I think it was actually a while supplies last offer, which is hilarious because it was mostly an electronic deal. But I think this is a way to spur people to upgrade as quickly as possible.
Waste no time.
Well, just to get it done, you know, because one of Microsoft's goals generally is to get people on the latest version of whatever. Get rid of old versions of IE, which is killing Windows upgrades. Get rid of old versions of Windows, old versions of Office. That's half of the point of Office 365. So I think it's just trying to get as much of the user base forward.
And I wouldn't be surprised, maybe you would be, but if they extended that offer after a year. Google does that every year. They say, we're not going to make you charge, pay for Google voice calls, and then another year, another year. Or do you think that this really is what you're saying, just like everybody get to Windows 10 and we'll worry about it after that?
Yeah, they never did for Windows 8. I always thought that second holiday season, I thought surely they're going to do this, and they didn't.
But Windows 8 wasn't free.
No, but it was $40, I think.
That's right. They could have.
Yeah, but then the prices went back up to normal. So I think it was $99 typically for the non-pro version. I think $199 possibly, or whatever the price was for.
Well, they're never going to say, "Oh, don't worry." Yeah. They want you to do it now. In fact, I'm surprised they said a year. Why not 6 months? Why not 5 months? Why not 3 months?
I'm hoping that when Windows does return to full price, the full price is $40. I think they acknowledge we're in a new era and that the old way of pricing doesn't make any sense anymore.
Somebody in the chat room says it'll be like the Xbox One, $349, but for a limited time.
Yep.
And then, of course, they said, hey, this sells well. We can sell these. That seems to be a magic price.
Yep.
All right. So there you go. Clarification. Radio guy in Connecticut, whoever you are. They're not going to give you Windows 10, have you upgrade, and then say a year later, oh, by the way, that'll be $10.
You know what? I do understand that mistake, because Microsoft is obviously trying to move to a subscription offer, you know, subscription services where possible. They call it Windows as a service.
We're going to talk more about it, too. We're going to talk more a little later in the show about the guidance and Windows as a service and what that really means. So hold that thought.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Office for Windows I don't know.
Deleche?
Somebody I like it. That's my favorite flavor. Somebody said, if everybody goes to 10, OS 10, Windows 10, who will be the first to go to 11? I think that's a good question. So for now.
Those crafty guys over at Lint, like Ubuntu or something.
Right. Office for Windows 10, what do we know?
This just happened about a couple hours ago. Microsoft made the first preview available for Windows 10 desktop of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. You know, the touch-first versions of those products. So I was in a pub when this happened, surprisingly.
Of course you were.
So I haven't written it yet, but I know Paul already probably has downloaded it.
I downloaded, installed, and used. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. And what do you think? Does it look better or worse than the iOS and Android versions of Touch First Office?
Right. It looks about the same. And when I say that, I mean the default, you know, the main UI of the application. It's a little rougher than the iOS and Android versions in that if you try to do a file open, you get a Win32 file open dialog box, which means you can't access any OneDrive or OneDrive for Business files that are not synced to your PC. On the other hand, there's a recent list on the default screen, which also has all the templates, that lets you access recently accessed documents. And if those things are in OneDrive, then you can get to them from there. And so clearly this is just a slice in time kind of issue. I mean, they're going to fix that kind of thing. But the thing I'm most interested in when I look at these apps is how they compare, you know, usability-wise. And it's this is kind of a goofy way to do it, but you can just kind of bring up the app and you can compare it to an Android tablet version or an iPad version and kind of see where they differ or how they differ. And honestly, they're actually pretty close, but already you see some features, and by features, I guess I mean commands, that are not available in the other versions. And more important, you get the stuff that's Windows-specific. If you have a system that supports inking, like a Surface Pro 3, you know, you can use the pen in these apps already. And I think that's kind of a neat differentiator. So, you know, it's a first release. I honestly didn't expect it this quick. We just talked to the office guys the other day. They hinted that more stuff was coming soon, but they didn't say this is what it was. And I just didn't think we were going to see it this quick. And so that's kind of cool.
This is not touch first Office, though.
It is.
It is. This is Gemini.
Yeah. And so ultimately, there'll be about five parts of this on a Windows tablet or phone, right? And so Word, Excel, PowerPoint, those are the ones they released today. OneNote they had released in the past couple of weeks. In fact, actually, it was released right at the same time as the newest technical preview. And then Outlook is coming soon. And Outlook will be two apps, I guess. In addition to a People app that will be part of Windows, there will be an Outlook Mail app and an Outlook Calendar app. And those are not available today. I sort of expected to get all this stuff, honestly, in a build of Windows 10. I was surprised that they were made available separately like this.
Well, I guess that's why there was a rumor that today was the day we were going to see Windows 10 mm-hmm. mobile preview, right? So this is actually what it was.
Right. And part of the announcement of this mentioned phones, because there's obviously these are universal apps. There'll be versions of this for phone. And they describe that as in the coming weeks. And I sort of am once again taking that to mean that when we see that phone build of the Windows technical preview, it probably will have some of these apps in there built in, because that's how that thing will be delivered to those users when it's a real shipping product. But they look solid. I mean, they do things like, you know, you can add comments and do, you know, track changes, you know, things like that. I haven't done this yet. It was just released. But starting now, you know, going forward, I'm going to use this to write. And I'm going to see if there's anything I miss. You know, granted, I use about 5% of Word's features in particular. And probably even less. You know, I use Excel to add numbers and to make charts. You know, so not a lot there. But. And then, of course, I use PowerPoint like Mary Jo does when I have to talk, you know, give a speech or whatever. But Word is the thing I use the most. So I'm gonna look at that one very carefully.
Did they put out the updated OneNote today, too, or no?
They didn't say that, and I didn't hear anything about that. So I don't believe so.
Yep.
I could be wrong. I didn't see anything about that.
So I should, on my iPad, immediately, I mean, what is the situation with iOS and Android?
For Office?
Yeah.
I mean, these apps are basically already there. If you have an iPad or an iPhone, you know, an iOS 8, I guess, you basically, especially on the iPad, get this app. I mean, you can. It's free.
Yeah.
There's some question around, or I should say differences around what you get for free, what you get when you're on Office 365. I think the way I think the situation will be the same across the platforms. I'm not sure they've actually addressed that, but the way they describe it on iOS is that you get most of the basic functionality for creating and editing documents, and that in each app there are a couple of high-level features that require that subscription. But they've really used up on the restrictions there. I mean, I think for most people, this is basically free. And
is Outlook still part of Office? Is it now part of Windows? Yeah. That's a little confusing, too.
We don't know. It's obviously the Office team still makes it. The situation on phone has always been that Outlook came with it. Outlook Mobile, right? Or, you know, Office Mobile was always part of phone. In the latest, in Windows Phone, they don't really call, you don't see the word Outlook anywhere. But there's a Mail app. There's a Calendar app. There's a People app. And those things are all, that's Outlook Mobile. In Windows 10, our expectation, Mary Jo, tell me if this is not correct, but is that these things will, what you'll see are these touch-first universal apps on phone and small tablets. For free as part of the OS instead of Office Mobile.
Yes, that's what I think is
the Office Hub or whatever. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting from what I've heard, the Outlook team is not part of the Office team. Outlook team sits with Outlook.com and Exchange, but they don't sit with the rest of the Office apps, I don't believe. So that kind of explains why you're seeing the two different things on two different schedules, I think.
That's interesting. Plus, and of course, Acompli is the iOS great. Office, and I mean Outlook, and I guess it's going to be the Android Outlook as well, isn't really the same thing. It's a different app entirely.
Right. I'm going to be really interested to see what that Outlook app looks like on Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile. Will it look exactly like Acompli? Because we saw a brief glimpse of it when we were at the Windows 10 reveal event, and it looked a lot like that. It looked very similar to Acompli.
I can't wait to see the Windows version.
There's a strategy here. I got to tell you, this just broke that apparently Microsoft has just spent $100 million on Sunrise, which is an Android and iOS calendar app I've used and recommended for a long time. It's gorgeous. Much like Acompli, which was an iOS email app, which they acquired. I don't remember what they spent on Acompli. But a number of news sources are reporting that they've just bought Sunrise. So now you've got a calendar.
Yeah.
You've got email.
Well, I mean, Acompli was already the full deal. It was primarily an iOS app.
It has a calendar in it, too.
It does, built in in one app. And this is kind of interesting. So we'll see how they do this on Windows. But in speaking to them recently, they were telling me that the Acompli team is the Outlook team. That's part of the same team. They're working on the Windows client. They're working on the web client. So now I guess this new company you're mentioning, I haven't heard this yet, but I would assume they're going to bring them into the same group and use. They must have some capability that is missing.
It's sure a gorgeous calendar app. You can see it at sunrise.am. And actually, I'm logged into my web-based version of this calendar. And you see it for Windows Weekly. It puts in some Paul Thurrott's.
By the way, what you're looking at may be what they have web, right? Yeah.
Well,
because
Acompli
is very much very much a mobile app.
Yeah. Well, as is Sunrise. Sunrise calendar is fantastic on iOS and Android. It's the one I use, actually.
Interesting.
I used Acompli for a long time.
Right.
So it kind of puts them in the mobile space in a very interesting way.
And by the way, it speaks to their whole, we're the productivity company, right? Yeah. This is the stuff, Microsoft needs to have the best of all of this stuff. It doesn't make sense for Google Calendar or something to offer something that Microsoft doesn't have. I mean, they need to make sure they have the best of everything. And so maybe that's part of the strategy.
Yeah. And it handles, Sunrise handles invitations nicely. So I don't know. Yeah. But it's funny because Outlook does all this stuff, the old Outlook.
Yeah, but the old Outlook is...
it's pretty old.
You know, it's an old... it's...
You know, it's funny. I just got the new Dell XPS 13, which I love. Mm-hmm. And because I have an Office 365 subscription, I put Office in there. And I thought, well, what the heck? Haven't used Outlook in a while. Let's run it.
Oh, God. Isn't that the worst?
It's horrible. It wasn't bad in its time, but it really feels dated.
No, it's terrible. And I this is something you either live in Outlook and you love it or at least need it.
Right.
Or you just can't stand it. And
it's become the Lotus Notes of, modern.
It really has become just an old-fashioned something.
It's dated. And what it doesn't do well is integrate with Google. I mean, you can subscribe to it. I've been trying to figure this out. You can subscribe to Google Calendar. But see, Sunrise and Acompli both, of course, work great with Google services.
Just natively.
Natively. So I have a feeling that's some of it, too, right?
It's very old-fashioned.
Yeah. And Outlook and I like the new Outlook on iOS. I've been using it, and I love it.
Yeah. Yep.
They're competing now with Google, because Google has its own Inbox app, which is very similar, although less featured. It's funny how mobile has become so important to your overall strategy. Yeah. Sure. For a desktop company like Microsoft, it really is. They have to be nimble, but I think acquiring Acompli and Sunrise is... It's kind of the right thing to do.
It's not confirmed they've bought them, but there's a lot of
chatter.
TechCrunch wrote it up.
Yeah.
It's not confirmed. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is
what
happened with Acompli.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And then 2 days later, they said, we're doing this.
And they say, TechCrunch says north of $100 million. So
that's 101.
That's a good exit.
Yeah. Yep.
For that team. And I can't imagine it's a very big team. Sunrise has a suite of calendar products for mobile and desktop users that connects and consolidates calendars from different providers. iPhone, iPad, Android, Mac App Store offering a web client. Yeah, it's on everywhere I go, except Windows.
Yeah, they have Facebook.
Facebook,
It's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And by the way, it works fine with Exchange.
Guess what? They will, Leo.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? Yes.
And maybe that's why they bought them.
It does work with Exchange. So I presume that means Outlook.com would work. So Acompli was $200 million.
$200 million, yeah.
So interesting. And it really is. It was an interesting experience for me to install Outlook on iOS and have a very positive experience and then install it on Windows.
And then go to Windows and you're like, really?
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of those people, you know, you think about all the people who subscribe to Office 365, one of the home versions, and they, you know, they get their little Stream 11 laptop or something. Well, obviously, I want to use Outlook for email, and they try to connect it to their Outlook.com stuff, and it's like, what is this thing? Like, it's so awful.
It didn't look.
It's just so awful.
Acompli, or the iOS Outlook, I should say, didn't look much different from Acompli.
It looked exactly the same.
It seemed like they just
kind of haven't changed it yet. Yeah. They haven't really changed
but they
it.
Will. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, they've said it. They're going to rapidly update it. And you would assume take it off Amazon Web Services, which is what it's running on.
And that raises this issue of this blog post from a guy who said no one in business should allow their employees to install Outlook for iOS.
Yeah.
He didn't say there was an issue per se. It's not like, and if you read the headlines, you might think, what's the big security exploit? There's no security exploit. He just says, should they really be storing this stuff on Amazon and stuff like that?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think this was just about them rebranding it, getting it out there.
It was.
Letting people in. Because Microsoft, even before this, had a confusing array of Outlook and Outlook-like apps on various mobile platforms. Yeah. And so now they have one. Yep. Everything's going here. This is where the improvements are coming. As they get features that the other things have, you know, Outlook.com or the OWA app for iOS, they'll get rid of those other apps, right? And so there's encryption's coming. The security stuff's coming. Obviously, they're going to switch to, you know, off of Amazon or whatever. Just like, you know, Hotmail eventually switched off of free BSD up to 10 years. It will happen. And I think it's going to happen quick.
Microsoft stores your email account credentials in the cloud. I feel like the guy who wrote this must be a moron because correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't your email
your cloud-based email aren't those credentials
cloud?
Already stored in the cloud? Leo, you're bringing logic to a Twitter fight. Listen, all you have to do is say something sensational and let the hits climb.
But you know what? Yeah, lots of hits, lots of headlines.
Sure.
What I saw was breathtaking, he wrote.
Was it? Really? Religious experience, was
they
it?
Store your credentials in the cloud.
Our language is running away from us.
Something's running away. Maybe our common sense.
I think it's more about how long they stay there, right? It's like how long till they get flushed.
You know, logging in, because he says, look, I deleted it and then it came back and I didn't have to re-log in. But if you are logging into Outlook.com, I'm thinking they probably have your login and password stored somewhere in the cloud.
In the cloud. Right.
Not forever. On your USB stick. In the cloud. Because it's really hard to log in if they don't have your credentials. They go, sure. I don't know you, but please have somebody's email.
This is a complicated topic, Leo. I don't think
it's in the cloud.
Yeah.
It's in the cloud.
I installed Windows 10 on my in VMware on my Mac. I like it. Looks great. Love the notifications. I've been playing with it. Didn't want to put it on that new Dell. I thought, I'm going to hold off. But boy, it's doing well. There's a roll up update roll up. Is that like a fruit roll up? What is that?
Exactly. So update roll up, as Mary Jo knows,
sounds
is
tasty.
A long running term in the Microsoft.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Obviously, it's something between a single update and a service pack. It's basically a bunch of updates that are rolled up together, if you will, and installed as one thing. But the thing that's so weird about this to me is that. Since they released announced the Windows technical preview and have talked about how they're going to be on this rapid release thing, every month they change how they're going to do it, you know, and they release new builds and then suddenly the builds have month names on it. We got the November release and then for February it's not the February release of the Windows technical preview; it's the February update roll up to the technical preview they released in January. And it's like, guys, seriously. Like, I don't know why they keep renaming these things. Anyway, it's not a full build. It is an update. You get it through
Windows
Update.
And it just happens, right? I don't have to do anything.
I don't know if it, I mean, we just got it today, so I manually installed it. I'm not sure if what it would do. But yeah, actually, based on how they're doing the technical preview, it probably would just install.
Yeah.
You're going to want it because it fixes a bunch of problems, including the advertising of the of some internal build that Microsoft was getting that we couldn't get outside of Microsoft, which a lot of people were confused and angry about.
I want that.
Yeah. Well, it's like click here to download build 9932.
Don't tease me, man.
You know, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Don't tease
me,
bro.
And then it doesn't work and they start freaking out, of course. I mean, who wouldn't? I did the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they fixed that.
You're using it right now, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of trust you put into that.
Leo, technology has never failed me. For more than 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah.
All
right. Raspberry Pi. I love this. The new Raspberry Pi 2. This must have been a joint announcement from the Raspberry folks, the Pi, Raspberry Pi folks, and Microsoft. They said Windows 10. And it, of course, is free because your screen is little teeny weeny. No, $0.
Yeah, $0. I think Mary Jo had the best write-up. I saw about this. Because the big question with this release is, what is this thing? Like, what does that mean?
It's ARM, right? I mean, that's the system on a chip, and a Raspberry Pi is an ARM chip, right?
Right.
And Microsoft said no one should be surprised.
2 days after we killed Windows on ARM, no one should
be
surprised.
Why are you surprised? We're not making Windows RT anymore, but why are you surprised?
Right. Well, you know, what they didn't announce when they announced the new version for Raspberry Pi is which version of Windows 10 is it running? They didn't say. They just said more to come later on what we're doing with Windows on IoT. But at TechEd Barcelona in October, Microsoft showed a couple of slides, which they have since decided not to publish, but a few people snapped pictures of them, luckily, about what they have coming for Windows for IoT. And they have a whole bunch of different SKUs for Windows 10. They have, like they have now for Windows Embedded, they have Windows 10 Industry, like they have Windows Embedded Industry. They've got a Windows 10 Mobile SKU. They've got Windows Embedded Compact for Windows 10. And they are going to do a version of the .NET Micro Framework for Windows 10.
Wow.
And then they've got this thing called Athens, Windows 10 Athens. And I think that's what the Raspberry Pi board is running. But they won't say. And if it is Athens, it runs on both ARM and x86 processors, and it only runs universal apps. So no desktop, of course, no Win32 apps.
Hmm.
We think that's what it is, but they won't talk yet about what's going on there.
So it's not Windows 10 with Bing.
No.
Could be.
I feel pretty good about saying no to that, but I wondered if it was .NET Micro Framework. That was the one I was
thinking. I think that's
wondering. Interesting.
Because, I mean, Raspberry Pi 2, or Raspberry Pi, it's really for developers, for makers.
Right.
I mean, Aaron Newcomb here does so many amazing things. He took an old-time radio and put a Raspberry Pi in it and turned it into a streaming, a old-time radio that streamed old-time radio shows. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Raspberry Pi, $35, the Raspberry Pi 2, $35, quad core. It's really impressive.
Yeah. Mind boggles.
It is really great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is.
And to have a, I mean, it comes, you know, they have their own Linux, I think it's a Debian on there, but to come with the Windows 10, I mean, that's intriguing. I think Microsoft's smart to smart to do that, to foster that. More information about Windows 10 pricing and upgrade policies. Business users, Mary Jo has the story.
Free for everyone, Leo.
Not free for everyone, right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, when Microsoft announced a couple weeks ago that consumers were going to get Windows 10 for free for the first year that it's available, a lot of people jumped to a lot of conclusions about what that meant. This week, I think it was Friday last week, they gave us a little more detail. They said, if you're running Windows 7 Pro or Windows 8 Pro or Windows 8.1 Pro, you also will be eligible for that free promotion. So that includes a lot of small businesses. But they said, you know, if you're running enterprise, no surprise, you're not going to get it for free. We assume you're going to have software assurance, and so that's going to cover you when Windows 10 comes out if you have yours up to date. And they did not disclose a price if for people who are not going to get that free version for the first year. So yeah, the clause that we still don't know a lot about is you will continue to get free updates if you get that free version for the supported life of your device. That's the part that's very squishy. We don't know if that means if the OEM says they no longer support the device, you don't get any more free upgrades, or if it means you'll still get them for the life that Microsoft supports Windows 10, which we assume will be 10 years, just like previous versions have been. They aren't commenting on that yet, so we don't know that part. And, you know, when they talked about Windows as a service, I think this is really where things got muddled. Because a lot of people, when they heard Microsoft say, so now Windows is going to be a service, they assumed it meant you're going to pay just like you pay for Office 365, because that's a service. But that's not the way it's going to work. Microsoft's not going to charge you every year that you have Windows 10 installed to get those updates. That's not how that works. They've said a couple times since they made that original announcement that it's not like Office 365. It's not a business announcement that they're making it into a service. It just means that you're going to be getting regular updates to it. And you're going to have an option if you're an enterprise customer. You're going to be able to pick to update more slowly if you want, something they are calling the long-term servicing branch. So you're going to be able to say, I only want to get security updates, or if you want to go current branch, I only want to get feature updates and security updates after a set amount of time. So if you're a consumer, you're going to be on that really fast track where you just get everything that they push to you on Windows Update. But if you're a business, you're going to be able to delay those updates or only take the security updates if you want. So I think that will appease a lot of people who are worried about, I don't want Microsoft pushing all these updates to me. They're not going to be tested. I want to test them. I want to control it. So that's what they told us this week. They still haven't given us the pricing, their true pricing.
All right.
Yeah. So what's the true pricing?
I don't know. What do you think it's going to be? They haven't said, right? Usually we don't know the pricing.
I think it has to be a lot less than it has been.
It's going to be cheaper, right?
If you're giving it away to consumers.
$199 thing has got to stop.
Yeah. I agree. But we don't know. And we probably won't know until closer to the launch. And we think the launch is fall 2015.
This interesting update thing, is it kind of, I think, a kind of good way to handle the qualms a business has while getting consumers updates and especially security updates.
I found that their description of this branches thing to be very complex.
Well, it worries me when you hear that, right? Branches.
Well, I guess what I mean by this is, like, if you think about just basic OS development and this notion that you're going to kind of drop a build that's designed for a certain audience, and maybe you're forking the build, and so you kind of fork this thing. And it's like a tree that goes across, as you move forward in time. This is sort of like forking for support or for servicing, I guess we call it.
Yeah.
But each of these things is actually a fixed length in time. It's not a fork that keeps going forward. You're basically, these branches are things that exist for some amount of time and then they go away. You don't get out, like, in other words, it's not fast and slow. It's branch A, branch B. And then branch A goes away and now we have branch C and branch B. And branch B goes away, now it's C and D. Like, it's really like chunks of serviceable units. I don't know what to call them. It's such a different model than traditional OS servicing. I'm still very confused by it.
I think the easy way to think of it. I think of it as fast, medium, and slow.
Yeah.
And so, if you're a consumer, you're on the fast track if you take that free one-year deal. And if you are somebody who's an enterprise who can have some on the fast track and some longer term, you're on the medium.
Makes it crazy confusing.
Come on, just think of it in threes. Three.
No, I can handle two. I can't handle three.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
He's binary. You're a binary kind of guy.
It's black and white, Mary Jo. There's no gray.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I don't.
That's the way I think of it.
I'll get there.
You will. Yeah. So that's all we know right now about Windows as a service and who gets the free upgrade. It's like they're trickling out little bits each week about how this is going to work and the promotions and the pricing.
Right.
Yep.
But it is in response to this concern business has about updates coming too fast.
Sure. Yeah.
If anything, it's more granular than what they offer on Office 365. So I could handle that. There were two things. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, but
what is the update? What are the branches on Office? I don't remember that.
Well, you know, in Office 365, because businesses don't necessarily want the back end services, what used to be their on prem servers, to be just updated willy nilly.
Right.
They could be on different paths where, you know, they can put things off if they want to prepare for it, if they're worried about compatibility issues. And, you know, that kind of thing should be less of an issue, obviously, in the cloud. But, you know, they're accommodating business needs with Office 365. I mean, with Windows, they're almost going over the top, it seems. Like, they're really going out of their way to make sure you can do it the way you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, kids, let's take a break. Come back with more. Mary Jo Foley is in London, England, and there's a great group of fabulous people there with you. Given what Paul said about Irish beer, I'm thinking none of them are from Ireland. somebody tweeted,
I want to make sure I wasn't misunderstood about the Irish beer thing.
Well, go ahead.
Irish beer is inferior to English beer is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Let's make that clear. And in fact, we got a tweet from somebody who said, I'm Irish, and I agree, but our stout is best of all.
Okay. I could see that. Mm. But I think the beer selection in England is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's something that, it will change in Ireland.
Paul's playing to the crowd. Come on, Paul.
I'm not playing to the crowd. If this was an Irish crowd, I would have just shut up. wouldn't have offered that.
Let us talk a little bit about a fabulous product that we've been using here at the Brick House for a few months now. Love it. Want to keep using it. In fact, we started using it with our engineering team, our sales team. It's called HipChat. It comes from a company called Atlassian. You're probably familiar with HipChat. It's kind of responding to this issue that email is maybe not perfect when you've got a team. It's too slow. Meetings, well, you know how meetings are. They can be a time sink. And regular instant messaging, while fast and fun, maybe not as great for groups. HipChat does it all. It's IM, it's video chat, it's document sharing, it's screen sharing, system updates, code sharing, one simple platform built for business. And secure, you bet. SSL encryption means everything you write is stored securely on the HipChat servers. You can go back in time. It runs on everything, not just Windows and Android and iOS, but because of the web browser interface, you can run it anywhere there's a web browser. And HipChat integrates with the top developer tools, GitHub, Jira, of course, Zendesk, and more. 57 different integrations, to be exact. 57 things HipChat plays nice with, and of course, because there's an API, you can extend it at will. HipChat, it's easy to set up, fun to use, makes your team wildly productive, and it's absolutely free. There's a pro version, too, and what we're going to do is, of course, you can always try the free version, but to get all of the features, sign up for HipChat Plus at hipchat.com/windowsweekly and get everything free for 30 days, including video and screen sharing and all of that. HipChat.com/windowsweekly. Click on the Start Chatting button, invite a few team members, and try it free for a month. Actually, for the first 100 people who sign up during this show, so don't wait, for the first 100 people, you're going to get 90 days free. Wow! I keep HipChat running on everything, including my iOS device, my Android device, my desktop, my iPad. HipChat.com/windowsweekly. Start chatting. It's free. And for the first 100 folks who sign up free for 3 months, hipchat.com/windowsweekly. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, paulthurrott.com. You should get paulthurrott.com. Do you have that?
I do.
All right. But you know, just, you know. You can also go to Thurrott.com.
I don't think there's anything at paulthurrott.com. It's like a
visa
for office.
Can I suggest you make your DNS point to Thurrott.com? I know it's a little sophisticated, but I just...
I'm in DNS. Could you...
Never mind. Oops.
What is this DNS you speak of?
Mary Jo Foley, she's done that. AllAboutMicrosoft.com points to her ZDNet blog. All About Microsoft. Great to have you both. Mary Jo Foley is in London right now in a padded room. No, she's there for the Tech Days Online. And we're having a lot of fun. So we talked about Windows 10 next. Windows Server next. Is there?
Yep.
Yep.
There's one. Eventually. There is one.
There is one, but not right now.
Yep. Windows Server Next is not going to be out in 2015. Well, alongside Windows Client. And that's very different from the past decade, I think. It's going to be out in the calendar year 2016 instead of in 2015. And if you ask me why, I don't really know. The blog post was a little, for Microsoft about this, was a little...
big.
Obscure? Yeah, big, big.
Yep.
I think they meant, after reading it several times, that it's a little too buggy right now for them to release it this year. But, of course, it doesn't say that. That's my interpretation of what it says. I think they said we'd like to have more testers and more feedback. But that, to me, kind of means it's not ready. So the next preview that you'll get of Windows Server 2016 will be in the spring of this year. And then after that, we don't know how many more previews there will be. They're not talking about features. They're not saying when in 2016 to expect it. They're just saying it's not going to be this year.
Since we don't know, let's speculate.
Yeah, let's speculate why. There's a lot of crazy speculation why this happened. Well, what do you think, Paul?
Reasonable speculation. First of all, there are all kinds of reasons why this could be. I really think that with businesses moving more and more modern workloads to the cloud, there's less need for another server. I don't think there's any need for a Windows Server, an on-prem version, to be on a rapid release cycle. I mean, I think 3 years, it was already pretty aggressive for server. Businesses, again, don't upgrade that quickly, just in general, let alone now. There's the whole Windows Server 2003 thing happening, right? Sometime this year, that's going to exit its support lifecycle. The companies that are upgrading away from Server 2003 are already in the midst of whatever they're doing, 2012, 2012 R2. This would just be confusing, I think, to throw this right into the middle of that.
Yeah.
I think they want to get that out of the way and have there not be any confusion. So I think, let's see, is there anything else I'm missing there? I think that's most of it. I mean, server is a different thing, you know? And of course, server in the context of this kind of cloud world is evolving. It's not as, it was never a rush, and now it's even less of a rush.
Yeah. I think some IT pros and enterprises will be relieved to hear there won't be a new server version this year, actually.
Right.
Because
right.
a lot of people exactly. are on 20, I, yes. they're on 2012 R2, and they're like, yeah, it works really well, and I'm happy with it. I don't mind waiting. So.
Yeah, server's not
I have
one
to
of those
let my cat out of my office. I'll be right back.
Okay. Server's not one of those things that you rush to upgrade all the time anyway. You don't want to.
Right. No. And I saw some people speculating they're using this as a stick to push more people to Azure. I don't really buy that one, but I know some people think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, businesses are going to move to established businesses, big businesses, corporations, you know, enterprises. Yeah. No one's moving to the cloud. They're migrating workloads to the cloud. I mean, this isn't like an ongoing thing. This will happen for years and years. There will always be some things that need to be on-prem, and there will always be reasons for new versions of certain servers to exist inside the data center, and I'm sure Microsoft will accommodate that for years and years to come. But, this isn't going to spur Azure adoption, not releasing a version of server. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so, but yeah.
Somebody in the chat room, BibbleQ, to be precise, despite his name, he actually asks a good question. Does it, if you break, BibbleQ, I like it. If you break the lockstep on client and server, does that indicate perhaps that Windows 10 is the last kind of, here you go, here's a operating system?
No, this has happened a lot.
It's not unusual. No, it's not unheard of.
It's actually more unusual for them to be released side by side, right? I mean,
no, not true. Wrong. Yeah. Wrong.
What?
Spank him.
Okay.
I think when was the last time, audience? Do you know when Microsoft did not release client and server together? Windows 2000?
No. That's not true. No, come on. There are multiple. Releases of clients that didn't have servers attached to them. Multiple.
That's right.
Server 2003 did not ship at the same time as XP.
Server 2003? Okay. That was a long time ago. That was 2003.
Yep. I know. Well, you sure, but
yeah, it's unusual, and I think Bibble Q, who's in our audience, actually
is so, he?
Yeah, I think
he's
I
double
think,
dipping. What's going on?
What does
on
a man
there?
Named Bibble Q look like?
he looks
you
like a normal guy.
You call yourself.
I think he may be onto something, though. Remember, a lot of people said when Windows 10 was announced, this could be the last major release of Windows client, and that they might just, from now on, update it. So maybe we won't see a Windows 11, Windows 12. It'll just be something that's there for a while, and they just keep updating it. So maybe.
You don't think so?
Think,
no, I just don't think it is related. I mean, I really don't think most client releases of Windows were accompanied day and date or within even 60 days by a server release over the history of Windows NT. But whatever, it doesn't really matter. I just think at this point it just doesn't matter because Windows 10 addresses a very specific set of functionality across device types, and server is server. A server retains kind of a classic server, set of functionality, and Windows 10 is kind of heading off in its other direction. So I just don't think it matters. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the two teams are still working together, server and client, unless that's changed.
Right.
I think it's interesting that they decided to do that.
We're going to ask.
Not saying it's bad.
We're going to get ready. Those of you in the audience there in the UK, get ready because we're going to take live questions in a little bit. So, Bibble Q and the others, your chance will come. Let's see. I'm just looking at the notes here. SharePoint server next. Is that going to be?
Yeah, don't forget SharePoint.
Yeah.
You put SharePoint in our notes?
Who's stuck?
I did put SharePoint in our notes.
Who got SharePoint in our notes?
Just kidding.
Yeah, because Microsoft did say this week that there will be another version of SharePoint server on-prem in case people were worried. I know people were. And it's going to be called SharePoint Server 2016, even though it will be out this calendar year, probably fall 2015. And that's
will
what all they
said.
Will
it ship at the same time as Office?
Sorry?
Will it ship at the same time as Office?
I would think it will.
And does it matter if it ships at the same time as Office?
It does matter. It matters. Okay. It matters. Come on. It matters more than Xbox.
Hey!
Okay, that did it.
Oh!
Now
oh!
You've done it.
As they say in The
now
Sopranos.
You've done it.
Oh,
I know.
This day would come.
Below the belt. I'm sorry.
Yep, stabbed in the back.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. And one other thing we should mention, System Center Configuration Manager next is going to ship this year, not next year.
Thank God.
Right.
Thank God.
But that actually does make sense because
it does.
There are management features in this release that are tied directly to Windows 10. And they're going to need that to manage Windows 10 clients, mobile and otherwise. So.
But the rest of System Center, no. The rest of System Center is going to be 2016, the next version. So there you have it.
There you has it.
Yep.
And today is the one-year anniversary of Satya Nadella's ascension to CEO of Microsoft. And a year later, they finally killed Windows RT.
Was he ascended into the trinity of Microsoft CEOs,
yes.
Leo? Is that how we're
Gates, describing? Ballmer, and the holy Nadella.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
1 year. I think he's done well. I like him.
Agree.
Yeah.
I think he's done way better than I thought he was going to do, I have to say.
He's shown real leadership. He's taken Microsoft in a... is it safe to say a new direction? I know we debate that, but...
I think this new direction is easier to swallow when it comes from a new person, and he's done a good job making it happen.
Right? Yeah.
Agree.
Good.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. A lot of the things he has presided over, like Office for iPad before, Office Touch First for Windows, that's really a Ballmer thing. Open sourcing the .NET stack was really something Steve Ballmer put in process. But he's the one who gets the credit because it happened under his leadership.
Yeah.
So the next year is going to be really interesting because now we're going to start to see more Nadella-led projects come to the fore, right?
Right.
Yep.
Although you got to say, I mean, Microsoft has announced that they're not making the 26, what is it, the 2625 anymore? The Lumia RT. The last
2520.
2520, that's it. The last Windows RT device.
Yep.
So the Surface Mini, we're probably not going to see that anymore. That was the first thing
well,
he did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And
I heard, I'm not
Surface
sure
2 is also gone. But that's normal.
Yeah, I think the traditional Windows, well, I'm not so sure about this as I say it. It seems obviously the current gen of Windows RT tablets has come to an end. The question remains now, I guess, for Windows 10, because Windows 10 will run on ARM, and obviously Windows Phone devices will be ARM. And I suppose the question is whether we see any very small tablets running ARM for Windows 10. I mean, there's a Microsoft slide out there that suggests that's possible. So it's not definitely gone, but that thing we call Windows RT, I guess, is gone.
Yeah. And it might not be from Microsoft that we see another ARM tablet. It might be from an OEM, right? So.
Yep.
All right, I think we're ready for questions from the audience. If you want to,
I think so too.
You want to field those, Mary Jo, and
we have Ed Baker from Microsoft, who's been our loyal guy setting everything up here, and he's been amazing. He's going to pass the microphone around.
Great,
and we're going to let people ask them directly.
Are you going to point who you want first?
Sure, I'll point. Who wants to ask something?
People
right
can.
Here in the
people
front
can.
Row.
Thanks, Mary Jo. Hi, guys. I just wanted to ask, so if Windows RT has been killed off as the platform, does that mean the runtime's gone as well? Because it was a runtime, wasn't it, for application development as well as an operating system in its own right?
No, I mean, I think the evolved version of that is Windows 10, right?
They're not the same thing, are they? I thought that was confusing nomenclature.
Really confusing, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, in other words, the runtime and the app platform is consistent across x86 and ARM, right? So, I mean, this has evolved and continues in Windows 10.
Right. So Windows RT is not WinRT.
Right.
And WinRT is alive, and Windows RT is not.
Dead. Oh.
Right. Yeah, I think
that's
right.
That's harsh.
Yeah. Yeah, dead. I guess not me, dead.
Yeah.
Who else? Come on.
Our next question is from Brian Byrne from Fixing Technology.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
I didn't know it was broken.
There's a decline in Microsoft device share that's just come out. What must it do to encourage developers on that platform?
So, actually, I think that this, I almost called it a plot, this strategy that they have with Windows 10 and the universal app platform, where you can write apps that run on Internet of Things / embedded devices on phones, tablets of all sizes, detachable PCs, you know, laptops, desktop PCs, and Xbox, right, is very attractive. And that I don't think, you know, we're not returning to the world where Windows is number one, right? Android is a humongous platform. They sold over 1 billion devices last year. iOS is a very big platform. But certainly, I think this is a way to be in the mix. And honestly, if you look at PC sales compared to device sales, even if Microsoft is the number three platform, I don't see any reason why the Windows platform can't grow over the next several years, right? Even if they stay number three, they should see upside just in device numbers. And it won't come necessarily from, you know, traditional phones and tablets, because we don't seem to be doing very well in those markets, although I guess we'll see. But maybe mostly from these other things, you know, from other device types and so forth. And so I think that it just makes it more of an attractive target for developers when you can write once across all of these things, you know. The Mac has seen a lot of success in recent years, but app development on the Mac hasn't necessarily exploded like it has on iOS, even though the tools are the same and a lot of the APIs are the same. And, you know, the devices are just different, and I think they might be a little too different. You can't run iOS apps on a Mac. I think the ability to make an app that runs, you know, across all of those device types is something unique and something that will be attractive to developers. But that's the plan anyway.
Yeah, I think the part that has to happen to make that work is Windows 10 has to be a success with Windows 7 users. And if it's not, then that universal app strategy does not look as appealing. If everybody who's running Windows 7 upgrades, then it gets more interesting if you're a developer, right? If they don't, and it's more like Windows 8, then it's not that interesting if you're a developer.
Right. Yeah, it's the difference between a couple of hundred million people and over a billion people.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Our next question is from Richard Stewart, who's a product evangelist from Microsoft.
Hi, Mary Jo. I'm going to ask a question to you about Hadoop, which I know you love. do you think that Microsoft will continue to, in a sense, fork Hadoop and add continual features to HD Insight to bring exclusivity to Azure customers?
I do think they will continue to do that. And I also think they're going to be doing something very interesting. They're creating their own big data analysis service called Cosmos. Internally, it's called Cosmos. They're building a version of that that's going to be available to customers, I've heard from my sources. I don't know when, but they're starting to recruit testers for that right now. And they're positioning that as something that sits alongside HD Insight and the other analytics products they have on Azure. But it'll be interesting to see how, if that actually ends up competing and they'll make that more of the fork, or if that will be a true complement.
And I would like to say everything that I can about Hadoop that I know, and I'm done.
It's a short conversation.
Okay.
Next question from Jim Chapman from Turnipsoft.
Hi there, Mary. So Jim Chapman. I'm an independent developer working on Windows Phone. I was on the platform with my app in Windows Mobile days. Then it was Windows Phone 7, 7.1, Mango, 8, 8.1, Universal Apps, ported it across to the the new Windows 8 and 8.1 environments. I have spent better than 75% of my app development hours in the last 4 years taking existing features and porting them to new APIs, just to running to stand still.
Yep.
What's your perspective on this? Do you think that with Windows 10, the universal app framework, am I going to have a stable set of APIs to code to so I can be adding new features to my apps rather than just running to stand still?
That is such a pain point. Holy cow.
Yeah, it is.
Holy cow.
I know. I don't know for a fact that you will, but I would hope you will. They must hear this feedback from other developers, right? I mean, this is not some new thing that you're bringing up here. So... I don't know, Paul, you haven't heard anything specific to the API set, have you, for Universal Apps?
No, in fact, that's been the weird thing, you know, to this day, they haven't really talked. So, obviously, Build is happening at the end of April. It's about, 2 months from now? On or before that date, I would assume we're going to hear this this very story. I mean, between then, we're going to get the Windows Phone update. We'll see what that looks like, but... I'm really kind of surprised. You know, historically for Microsoft, the developer thing came first. That was always how they led the platform out the door. And this time it seems like the developer stuff is coming not last, but near last. And we just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
That has to really discourage
I think we'll hear it build.
I mean,
we'll hear it build, right? More on the API set.
Yeah.
Is that typical that somebody spends so much time just updating for the new APIs?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about, right? I mean, I'm not a developer, but knowing how the APIs have sort of evolved and how new APIs come in with different platforms, I mean, a developer could tell me differently, but it seems to me, you know, Windows Phone was Silverlight, and then it was sort of WinPRT, and Windows 10, 8, sorry, was WinRT, and those things were similar, but not the same. And you know, it makes it hard to, you know, you want to call location services, you want to do specific things to the APIs, and they're different on each platform, and it's weird. And then they update them to be the same, but now you've got these two things that have to be updated for the new platform. And I don't know, it's kind of a tough treadmill to be on.
Yeah.
Hopefully part of this universal app platform is they kind of plan a stake and say, look, this is where we're at, and we're going to be here for a while. We're going to update this thing. We're not going to have a bunch of different stuff going on. And I know that's, I'm sure that's what it is, but it is notable that this has not happened yet. And I don't know why.
Our next question is from BibbleQ or Ben Lee from Modalities.
And the crowd goes wild. It's BibbleQ. Oh, my God.
He's like a character from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Love him.
Hi, all. Yeah, it's a bit more of a consumer-orientated question. I've been a Media Center user for a long, long time. Do you think with the convergence between Windows 10 and Xbox and the fact that there's the TV tuner for Xbox over here and in Australia, that there might be any sort of light at the end of the tunnel around that for us fans?
No.
No, okay. Next question, please. No.
we don't know.
I hope so. I hope so.
We don't know.
I mean, right? I hope so.
It's not in Windows 10 technical preview, right?
It's
actually,
not
you can add Media Center, I believe, to the latest build. I think it is in there. I haven't done it. Okay. But, you know, obviously it's not been updated or anything. Updated for Windows 8.
The one thing I'll say is the current operating system group team seems intent on overturning many, if not all, of the decisions made by the former Windows 8 team. So maybe there's a slight glimmer of hope.
Yep. I'm reading a thread on the Microsoft support group. It says you can get Windows Media Center by going to the control panel and clicking add features. But oddly, this renames the tech preview to Windows 8.1 with Media Center.
Nice. Well, which is, you know what, a relic of the code.
You might be confused, but you can do it. Yeah.
I guess, you know what, though, I'll say this. I think when you think about the era in which Windows Media Center came, right, getting over-the-air or cable-based access to TV signals was kind of the way that content was going to come into the computer. And if you look at it the way it is today, whether you're talking about an Xbox One or a computer, I mean, primarily now we have services where we get that kind of content from. But there's an audience for over-the-air TV, at least, right? Maybe you watch sports or you just want to record TV shows that way. They've accommodated that on the Xbox One in Europe, not in the United States, oddly, although they do let you pass through your cable system in the United States. And that's kind of a nice hybrid solution in a way. For the people that do want that, it's there. And so I, like Mary Jo, I think it leaves open the hope that something will be there. I don't think we're going to see traditional Media Center as it was in 2003 or whatever, but some interface that is access to services, plus you have this live TV signal. I think it's possible. It is possible. I wouldn't surprise me if they offered something.
All right. You're right.
The world has
changed, though. And
yeah.
Right. That's what I mean. It's not like they're going to drop support for Netflix and stuff like that. I mean, but, you know, you want to accommodate everybody. And I think there is a solution that can be had there. And I think what they've done with the Xbox maybe forms a guide of how that might happen.
Yeah.
Or how it should happen, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Any more?
Media Center is always the showstopper.
Everybody's thinking.
Now everyone's just like kicking their feet. They're all disgruntled.
There's more.
There are more.
We have a question from Saravana Kumar.
Hi. My name is Saravana Kumar. I'm integration MVP. I work mainly in BizTalk area. And I think a couple of months ago during the Integrate 2014 event, Microsoft announced a bunch of new directions they're taking in the integration space, especially moving towards microservices and how it's going to come down to the server version, the same set of things. And I guess you even mentioned about it in your ZDNet column. So what's your take on the microservices and how is it going to influence the on-prem mode? Do you have any input on that?
A BizTalk question? Woo! Hadoop and BizTalk? And we said SharePoint, too? Wow. All right.
All right, Paul and I are just going to go over and play Call of Duty. You could take over here.
I think the most interesting thing I've heard about BizTalk lately was in December. There was a conference in Redmond where they talked about the next version of BizTalk services. And they talked a lot about the concept of turning BizTalk into more of a microservices platform and making that a very key piece of what happens with Azure Platform as a Service. They said the way we're turning BizTalk services into a bunch of microservices connected together is going to tell you kind of where we're going with Azure Platform as a Service. So that's kind of what I'm watching for. And I don't know how that's going to come back down to the on-prem version of BizTalk, but I think you're going to hear a lot more about BizTalk on this podcast and other places in the coming year.
That was a threat.
It was.
Fine.
I don't think you can ignore integration.
I agree. You cannot ignore it. You cannot. Yes. They try, but you cannot.
Exactly, yeah.
Another question I see.
Yes, we have a question from Usman Mohammed. He's a student, and I think it might be a student question.
Nice.
So this one's directed to Paul because most of the questions have been more about enterprise. Have you had a chance to play the new Call of Duty download and try playing the new zombie mode?
Yes, I have, and God bless you. So... it's funny. I've probably spent more time over the past several years playing Call of Duty than all of the games combined. And one of the things I did recently was I've actually been playing the older games, the Modern Warfare Plus, and I prefer them to the new game. And when the new they released the first map pack for this new game, and I'm trying to figure out why it is that I don't care about the new game as much as the old games, and I haven't quite put my finger on it yet. And I appreciate new content. I mean, I appreciate the availability of new maps and all that stuff. And I think that's an important thing for keeping interest up over the course of a year until a new one can come out. But this one's left me a little cold for some reason. I can't quite figure out why. But I'd like to explore it for the next 65 minutes if I could. So I'm kidding.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Paul, yesterday when I was in Reading, on the Reading campus, I did a podcast that starting up for the Expert Zone. It's called In the Loop. Mm-hmm. And they brought me into this amazing room on the campus with 15 different Xbox setups in there where all the Microsoft nice. Employees can come in and play games. So I went in and they're like, "You're in the Xbox room." And I was like, "Oh." And then they said, "Too bad Paul's not here. He would actually love
this." You know, for
this.
Most human beings, this is like Disney World.
It is.
Mary Jo exactly. said, "Do you have a Hadoop room?"
Yeah, exactly. Does one of these have Notepad running on it?
They do, and it's all like a padded cell, right?
Ooh. Ooh. Anything else?
You want to take a couple more?
We can.
A question from Manoj.
Hey guys, on a more serious note, what's the budget for the website?
Basically under 250 is what I'm hearing.
Anything under, well, we've already spent 150, so I don't know what to do with that. Maybe 100. Could you do us a website for $100? I don't know what
I would gladly get a website today for a hamburger tomorrow.
It's funny. I don't know. There's this thing, you know, where a normal person would go to Squarespace or Blogger or somewhere and make a website or download WordPress, install it on a server, and make a website. And then you've got the massive business. I don't know what Exxon and, what they do. But then what does a small business do? You know, do you go to Wix or Squarespace? Or, I mean, we have kind of weird needs.
You don't just need someone to build a site. You also have to maintain it. And
we're a podcast network, and it's just unusual. And it just, but we really very rarely have we've gone through some really bad experiences and spent a ridiculously much larger than I thought.
I've always been very happy with my own website, so I'm not sure what these kind of problems might be.
I'm going to go to, could you guess how much Penton spent on the content management system you guys used?
Spent negative.
as little as possible.
I think they got it at a yard sale. I don't know.
I want to go talk to Squarespace and say, we'll need some help because we have some specialized custom stuff. But
but that should appeal to them.
I feel like we've just not, I feel as normal people must when they're faced with technology. It's like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's happening?
And I thought I kind of understood. I mean, I understand web technologies. I understand all this stuff. I've done my own sites for years. But there's something that happens when you get designers and programmers in a room. And, you get agile and you're scrumming, and now you have a scrum master, and pretty soon $100,000, boom, out the door.
I love that word, scrum.
We have a scrum master. He's on the payroll, our scrum master. Don't ever want a scrum.
I'm using the word scrum, it's because I'm rolling around in the mud with some guy.
This guy has a certification in scrumming. But I annoy him because I don't call him the scrum master. I just call him scrumster. I think that bothers him a little bit.
Nice.
I can just see
that. It's scrumming as a service.
Yeah, scrumming. Sass. I like that.
You know?
That's sassy. Yeah. Any other questions from the lovely folks in London? There's some great crew there. Well, I want them there for all of our shows from now on.
I want to know why every one of these people sounds like Dan Stevens. It's like a... It's like a collection of guys that used to play James Bond in the movies.
Yes, there is another one.
Right. I'm Daniel and I'm a student. I want to know about the new... I've heard that Microsoft's opened a new part of the C# Common runtime and the environment. Does this include the Windows Forms for Linux? And I'm wondering what the biggest strategy here is, if it ties into Microsoft's recent $70 million investment in CyanMod, seeing as they've open sourced more of the common language runtime.
Wow.
I have to ask a question before we answer this question. Is there, in fact, a Windows Forms for Linux, or are you just speculating that this is...
There is?
I don't believe there is. but this would allow some, unless Mono made one maybe, or, you know, the Xamarin guys or whatever. Right. But certainly opening up the core of .NET, I mean, this is the bizarre vacation we're heading toward, right? I mean, anything is possible at this point.
Yeah.
I just don't think Microsoft's going to be the one that does it.
We haven't heard for sure that they've invested the money in, how do you say it,
CyanogenMod.
Yeah, that so far is still an unconfirmed rumor. But I could see them doing this, and I've read in a couple places other reporters saying they might be doing it to make sure that there is a distribution of Linux that's more friendly to, of Android that's more friendly to Microsoft services. You could say maybe they're doing it as part of this rumored Android apps on Windows and Windows Phone initiative.
Sure.
Or some people said they're just doing it to mess with Google, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it may literally be related to that earlier .NET topic. I mean, getting this stuff going on. I mean, when you think about universal apps, I mean, universal across Microsoft stuff is interesting, but it gets really interesting if universal apps include non-Microsoft platforms. So, I mean... I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but I mean, that's an interesting future, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right now, universal apps means universal across Windows. What if it really meant universal across everything?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good one.
No more Xbox questions, huh? Weird.
Are you going to play Far Cry 4, or what do you think?
There is one more last question. I don't know if it's an Xbox question.
Hi, my name is Malte, and I'm a researcher, and I'm. It's not an Xbox question. It's a Windows question. It's a little bit like full circle. You remember right at the beginning, you discussed how some people misunderstood Windows 10 free for a year as to mean that from 2016 on, people would have to pay a subscription fee, which, of course, I don't quite understand how people could make that mistake, because I thought it was perfectly clear that we're talking about an upgrade. But an acquaintance of mine has brought up a very interesting variation of that aspect and suggested that maybe, yes, the upgrade to Windows 10 will be free for a year, but then, I don't know, the Service Pack 1 or something like that, eventually there will be expansions in 2017 or 2018. Yep. Maybe those then will become... non-free. And I was just wondering, and not to get me wrong, I think, of course, Microsoft has to get money somewhere. I'm just wondering, has there been any rumors or speculation or comments on that?
I have not heard any speculation on that. You know, there were before they announced this Windows as a service, there were a lot of rumors saying that there was going to be something called Windows 365. But the people who were spreading those rumors actually, I think, stumbled onto a student project in Europe somewhere where they built something they call Windows 365. And I think the people who were spreading these rumors thought that project was a Microsoft project. That's my guess where a lot of that was coming from. But, you know, as far as, you know, when will Microsoft ever charge people to upgrade? I don't know. I mean, it's if they do support Windows for 10 years and Windows 10 comes out this year, that would put us in 2025. Sorry. You can tell. It's the end of the night.
Too many Irish beers, Mary Jo.
Too many non-Irish beers. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors or speculation.
You know, a couple of years ago, I might have said, yeah, it seems like logical they're moving toward Windows 365. The more they talk about this stuff and the more I think about how the world is changing, I don't think buying Windows becomes a thing anymore. I think that notion goes away. I think you're going to get Windows with a device. You're going to get Windows updated for free as an individual on that device, just like, you know, you do with Apple and iOS, and that there will be some natural expiration for that stuff. 5 years, whatever it is, for updates, however they want to work that. But the notion of buying some future upgrade or paying an annual fee to continue to get upgrades, I could be completely wrong, as I am about everything, I guess, but I or as I could be about anything, but I just see them walking away from Windows as something they sell to consumers, you know, as a thing, like a retail package, as a, you know, as a disk or whatever that you, or a download even that you apply to a computer or device. I mean, I think that's something you're just going to get, you know, and that they're going to try to make money in other ways. Obviously, licensing to PC makers, you know, and that $0 thing has really taken off. So that's a lot of money right there. And then, you know, but more expensive, you know, hopefully actually net positive sums of money for more expensive computers. But, you know, Windows as a percentage of Microsoft's revenues has gone down over the past several years. And I think that continues to happen. And I think they're going to be okay with that because it's a new business model. That's the point, you know.
Okay. I think that's all ours.
All the time we have, ladies and gentlemen, because now we're going to go to the back of the book, the moment you've all been dreading. But first, a word from our sponsors.
It's not a horror movie. It's
the back of the book. Don't go in there. It's the back of the book. No, it's the best part. It's the good stuff that they put in the back of the magazines that I always skip to. You know, tips, tricks, tools, and beer, ladies and gentlemen, beer. But first, a word from ZipRecruiter. If you, and this is actually, for anybody who does hiring, this is such a wonderful thing. ZipRecruiter solves a big problem for people who are doing hiring, whether you're a tiny business and you just needed a little help, or you're a big business and you've got to hire a bunch of people for a new division. ZipRecruiter posts your job submission, your job requirements, to 50-plus job boards with one submission. Not just job boards, but also social networks like Facebook, Twitter, eBay Classifieds. Craigslist, of course. We just love it. We've been using ZipRecruiter. It's really a great way to find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. You post once and you watch your qualified candidates roll in. It's nice because you don't get emails and phone calls. All the submissions go to ZipRecruiter, and then they have this great interface that lets you screen the candidates, rate them, and just find the right person really fast. It couldn't be easier. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used now by over 250,000 businesses to find the right employee fast. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. We're going to give you a free 4-day trial. It's so fast, that's enough probably to get that person hired. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Great support. Great stuff. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. I want you to go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Try it free right now. We thank ZipRecruiter so much for our support. And keeping Windows Weekly on the air. Back to London, England with Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott, Time for the back of the book. Let's kick things off with Paul Theriot and your tip of the week, my friend.
So I don't have a link to this because it's a few different articles now, and it's going to be a lot more. But last week, Mary Jo probably forgot all about this, but I went on a small rant about clean PCs and PC makers. And
the signature stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't forget.
So, hey, by the way, I'm pleased to say after I opened the box and set up the Dell, there were only really two things on it. There was the McAfee, you know, thingamajig, not just the antivirus, but the whole, but that uninstalled very easily. And then there was like the Dell store and some Dell support stuff. And I left that on because who cares? So even though it wasn't a signature PC, it really wasn't.
Good. Well, that's good.
So I didn't get, there was no AOL offer or anything like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of new crapware coming on PCs. There's going to be like pop-up video ads and things. And
oh, my God.
This whole thing is a cesspool. And, you know, even machines I really like those HP Stream laptops and tablets, come with a crazy collection of crapware. And so I'm looking at ways to do to clean PCs. And obviously there are things like remove crapware, and there, we all know those utilities and that kind of stuff. But what I really want to arrive at is this ability to, download the Windows version that came on your computer, apply it in a clean install, get all the drivers that you need, and basically get this thing up and running from day one with no crapware. And so I've started investigating this. It's possible. It's a little convoluted, but it works. I did it with a Windows 7 Ultrabook, repeated it. It's kind of a repeatable thing. But I'll be doing it for Windows 8 as
well. I just got the new a new HP Stream for review, so I'll be following along.
Yeah, and actually that's the one I used for my crapware removal article where, you know, what does it look like? And I don't know if it was Decrap or Decrapify.
What, PC one of those, Decrapifier is the one I've used.
One of them found 29 pieces of crapware on there. And it's like, guys, seriously. You know, this stuff takes up space. It auto-runs a lot of time when your system boots. It consumes resources, which are precious on these low-end computers. It's just too bad, you know, because otherwise it's kind of a neat little computer, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And
but, you know, I understand why they have all that crap. It's $200. They got to make money somewhere, right?
Yeah, but you could also spend $1,800 and still get crapware as well, and there's no excuse for that. Yeah, so
I agree.
Anyway, I'm writing a series of articles about that, so, you know, check out the site for that.
Good.
The other small mini tip was just I put up an article about getting additional OneDrive storage, you know, and now that we can all back up our photos on our phones automatically, regardless of the platform, it's kind of an interesting thing to look at. You know, how can I get more storage? And actually, one of the simplest ways to do that is to back up your photos on your phone, because if you do that from an Android phone or an iOS phone or an iPhone or a Windows phone, you actually get additional storage just for doing that. But I have a short article about the various ways in which you can. And there you go. There's your crapware. Look at it.
You're right. There's McAfee, TripAdvisor, Snapfish, Shop for Supplies, Connect, crazy. Get Dropbox. I mean, this is
warning, ridiculous. Leo. You might be unprotected.
Yeah, I know I am.
That's irritating.
Yeah, it's interesting. It came up in desktop, which kind of. Oh, this isn't.
Yeah. Well, it's a desktop class computer. You know, like a keyboard.
That's what they do now.
Based,
Right. Yeah. Skulls of the. No, that's a Red Stripe deal.
That's just the store thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's all the crap stuff.
Yeah, so some of that stuff is, those are modern apps. Actually, it's one of the nice things about Windows 8 Plus is you can actually uninstall. Yeah, very simple.
You just hold it, right? Yeah. Oh,
but see, here's the other thing. So just since we're on this topic, I will say one of the issues with crapware removal, and this includes removing Microsoft products as well, older versions of Windows Essentials, the Office installer that's on many computers. If you actually uninstall those things, they still leave an incredible amount of garbage in the registry. And some of the better decrapifier type tools will let you step through the process of removing that stuff too. Because one of the problems with removing crapware is you don't always do so cleanly. And so it's actually not correct to say that you could sit there and take the time to remove everything and you'll be where you need to be, because just the process of applying that stuff to the computer and then not correctly removing all of it can also leave your PC in a less than desirable state. So it's kind of a big topic. Like I'm just depressed by how much the, you know, PC makers ruin this experience. So
it's good.
I think
more
to
come on.
Field guide.
Book, yeah.
That, you know, what would sell really well.
Sure.
It probably would.
Would sell really, really well.
Yep. Well, maybe I will. Mm-hmm. So for the software pick, there's actually been a bunch of software that's come out in the past week, but for some reason, this one really hit me the right way, which is, There's a thing called Microsoft Garage, or do I have that right? Microsoft Garage, not to be confused with the Office Garage, which is now not called Office Garage, which is basically an effort within Microsoft to quickly release apps on mobile platforms, not just on Windows platforms, but also on Android and iOS. And those guys make an incredible Android lock screen app, which is awesome. And of course, a lot of people in the Windows Phone said, like, you know, what the heck, you know, this awesome Android app. But Microsoft also makes something called Tetra Lock Screen for Windows Phone. And it's really cool. And it basically makes your lock screen interactive for a variety of things, which are expressed as widgets, like weather, your calendar agenda, your current location, which includes a map. That, in other words, you know, if you're trying to find someplace and you don't want to sign into your phone, you just want to look at it real quick, make sure you know where you are. Not only will it show you where you are on the map, but it will also show you the location of nearby calendar events that are occurring within a certain time range. And so if you're heading to a meeting that's in a location that you're not familiar with, you can use your phone without having to, you know, sign in and do the whole swipe thing. There's an activity tracker if you have a SensiCore-based Lumia, which is some of the higher-end or newer Lumias, and then a stopwatch, which is funny only because Windows Phone amazingly still doesn't come with a loss, like with a stopwatch, which is kind of crazy.
So can you explain this to me? Because I entered Tetra, and it said, yep. Oh, yeah, Tetra lock screen. And this is what it's offering me, emoji message, secret pixel.
Yeah, so in the search box that you have. Oh, you know what? Sorry, it doesn't work on the 1520.
Ah!
I know, yeah. It's just a random weird thing. I don't know why that is.
And well, I'm sure I'll install Emoji Art anyway, yeah, because right now that's work. So much better.
Sorry. Mm.
Damn you, Paul Theroux.
It actually, and for whatever it's worth, this works a lot better on a high-end Windows phone. Like, I put it on a 535 and it works, but it's a little slow on such a phone. But on a 930, it's much, much better. It's a really cool lock screen.
Thanks for selling it so highly.
Sorry.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to do a code name right away. We're not going to do a enterprise pick, a Hadoop pick. We're going to do a rumor of the week.
Right. I figured since we already did so many great questions about enterprise, I'd spare the people who don't care, like Paul. So rumor of the week is an answer to a question I've had a lot of people ask me in the past week or two. They've been asking me if there's still going to be something called the Windows 10 Consumer Preview, or if there's going to be something called the Windows 10 Phone Developer Preview. So I've been asking my contacts about this, and from what I hear, the answer to both of those is no. From now on, the builds, the monthly or so builds that you get through the Insider Program, the monthly technology previews, those are replacing developer previews and consumer previews. So the Insider Program builds are the way you're going to get all previews, whether you're a developer or a consumer or whatever. That's just from sources, not official from Microsoft. But I think it's a very interesting thing to know if you've been waiting around for what's called a consumer preview or a dev preview.
Hmm. Cool. That makes sense.
It does.
It's all rolled up now.
Yep.
Which makes it weird that Microsoft would be doing it.
Yeah, true.
and they say you're a homer, Paul.
True. Come on, we're in Microsoft. We got to be nice. Play nice.
Code name of the week. What is this? Is this?
The code name pick of the week is, I think I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Ryujit. R-Y-U-J-I-T. Ryujit is Microsoft's 64-bit just-in-time.NET compiler. And the reason I made it the codename pick of the week this week is, as one of our questioners noted, Microsoft actually open sourced a bunch of things pertaining to .NET this week, and they put this code on GitHub. So just this week, they released the complete and up-to-date Core CLR, Ryujit, the .NET garbage compiler, native interop, and many other .NET runtime components. Those are all on GitHub now, and they're under an open source license. And if you're wondering what the codename Ryujit connects to, it comes from Ryujin, the mythological Japanese sea deity.
Obviously, Mary Jo.
Obviously. That's your codename pick of the week.
And beer?
Yeah, beer. This was a really tough week to do a beer pick because I've been in England since Friday. I went to the Colchester Beer Festival this weekend and had maybe a pint or two there. And I've gotten to sample many fantastic real ales here in London. But I'm going to do something a little weird for my beer pick. I'm going to pick a British beer that tastes like an American craft beer that I found. And it's called Mad Hatter. And one of the attendees tonight, Gary Pretty, brought a bottle of this, and we all got to try it. It's a pale ale brewed in Liverpool that tastes almost identical to me to an American pale ale. And it only gets a 52 on Rate Beer, but I think that's because most of the people here who drink it may not know American craft beer styles and may just say, whoa, that is hoppy. But if you like American craft beer styles and you're in England, but you want to drink local, I would recommend the Mad Hatter Penny Lane Pale.
Sounds good.
So that's my beer pick. It was good. Very, very nice choice.
Mary Jo never met a beer she didn't like. Actually, that's probably not true. Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. We know Paul.
I can think of a few.
Paul pretty much says, whoa, that's too hoppy, no matter what. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the Windows Weekly team.
And the audience.
Yeah. And a great audience in London at Microsoft's Tech Days Online. So nice to have them there. Really adds something to the show. Paul Thurrott is at his new website, Thurrott.com. Go there and read all about it. Thurrott. Three T's, two R's, a couple of U's and O's, an H.
There's an umlaut there somewhere.
It's easy to find.
Just, use the letter four instead of the number four instead of the letter H.
I just made it a little harder to get there, didn't I? Well, there's three T's, two R's, a U, an O, and an H. You figure out how to get there. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's where her ZDNet blog resides. And we do this show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 1900 British Standard Time. If you want to join us, we would love it if you watch live. If you don't, well, no problem. If you don't want to join us, well, that's no problem. But if you can't, you should always download the offline version. We've got audio and video available at twit.tv/ww. Also, of course, on all the various podcast aggregators, your podcast client on your mobile device. And don't forget, there are great Twit apps for everything, including Windows Phone, Roku too, thanks to our great third-party developers. Get one, listen, don't miss an episode because it's good stuff. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.